On the morning of December 6th, 1917, a bright windless day, a French freighter called the Mont Blanc began to slowly pull out of the Halifax Harbor in Nova Scotia. At the time, Halifax was one of the busiest ports in the British Empire. There was a war on in Europe, and the harbor groaned with the churn of ships, men, and weapons. The Mont Blanc was headed for France that day, carrying over 2,500 tons of explosives, including TNT. While passing through a narrow channel in the harbor, a larger ship, the Emo, from Belgium, accidentally rammed the bow of the Mont Blanc. The collision itself was not catastrophic. The Emo sailed on, in fact. But the crew of the Mont Blanc knew that their ship was a floating time bomb. They tried to put out the fire, but not for very long. Then they scrambled into lifeboats and paddled for shore. For a few heartbreaking moments, the Mont Blanc drifted in the harbor. It brushed up against the pier, setting it on fire. Children gathered to watch the spectacle. Many of the worst disasters in history started quite modestly. One accident led to another until a fault line opened up in a civilization. About 20 minutes after the collision, the Mont Blanc exploded, sending black rain, iron, fire, and wind whipsawing through the city. It was the largest bomb explosion on record. The blast shattered windows 60 miles away. Glass blinded some 1,000 people. Next, a tidal wave caused by the explosion swamped the shore. Then fire began to creep across the city. In the harbor, a black column of fire and smoke turned into a hovering white mushroom cloud. Survivors fell to their knees, convinced that they had seen a German Zeppelin in the sky. At the moment of the explosion, an Anglican priest and scholar named Samuel Henry Prince happened to be eating breakfast at a restaurant near the port. He ran to help, opening up his church as a triage station. It was, strangely enough, Prince's second disaster in 5 years. He had responded to another local cataclysm in 1912, when a luxury cruise liner called the Titanic had sunk some 500 miles off the coast of Halifax. Back then, Prince had performed burials at sea in the frigid waters. Prince was the kind of man who marveled at things others preferred not to think about. On the awful day of the explosion, he was astounded by what he saw. Prince watched men and women endure crude sidewalk operations without obvious pain. How was one young soldier able to work the entire day with one of his eyes knocked out? Some people experienced hallucinations. Why did parents fail to recognize their own children at the hospital, and especially at the morgue? Small details nagged at Prince. On the morning of the explosion, why was the very first relief station set up by a troop of actors, of all people? That night, a blizzard hit Halifax, the epic's final act. By the time the catastrophe had rippled out across the land, 1,963 people would be dead. In silent film footage taken after the blast, Halifax looks like it was hit by a nuclear weapon. Houses, train terminals, and churches lie like pickup sticks on the snow-covered ground. Sleighs are piled high with corpses. Here were to be found, in one dread assembling, the combined horrors of war, earthquake, fire, flood, famine, and storm, a combination for the first time in the records of human disaster, Prince would write. Later, scientists developing the atomic bomb would study the Halifax explosion to see how such a blast travels across land and sea. After helping rebuild Halifax, Prince moved to New York City to study sociology. For his PhD dissertation at Columbia University, he deconstructed the Halifax explosion. Catastrophe and Social Change, published in 1920, was the first systematic analysis of human behavior in a disaster. Life becomes like molten metal, he wrote. Old customs crumble, and instability rules.